Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Don't forget, use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its Market Savings program. Market Savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit www.joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save. Today on State of State, we are talking about Penn State's two bell cow running backs, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, especially how they could fare in 2024 under new Penn State offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki, considering what he could potentially be doing with the running game this upcoming season. Thank you for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe, rate us, turn on notifications, all that good stuff, and follow us on social media on X, Instagram, TikTok, at State of State Pod. Justin, a lot of news in the last 24 hours when it comes to Penn State football. Together, we're going to get to touching on the Beaver Stadium renovations and the greater world of college football, this lawsuit going on between Georgia quarterback Jaden Rashada and the University of Florida's football program and staff. Is absolutely fascinating, but let's stick at home with Penn State for now. It's fascinating because you and I were talking about this off air. We've talked so much about this offense and what Andy Kotelnicki could do. The quarterbacks, the wide receivers obviously have garnered a lot of attention, but it seems to be just kind of this assumption is, oh, there's going to be a focus on the running game. And you feel this lack of discussion about two phenomenal tailbacks that are going to be at the center of this. And it's something that I hearken back to thinking about, oh, what could the passing game be? Tyler Warren could potentially be the number one passing threat in this. But really, the overall number one threat in this offense, my anticipation is going to be hopefully Nick Singleton, or a combination of Singleton and Catron Allen is far more likely. But given what we saw in the field last year from Nick Singleton, there are certainly some people who are curious as to what we're going to get. Let's start with number 10. Nick, great freshman year, sophomore year. Statistically, things went down a little bit in the rushing game, came up in the passing game, which was encouraging, but he just lacked that overall explosion and burst that we saw as a freshman. Knowing what little we now know about Andy Kotelnicki, what do you think Singleton is capable of in 2024?
I mean, I'd like to be very clear about, I don't think he lost a burst or lost a step at all. I think the opportunities to show his burst and his unique abilities was limited by how quick he engaged with defenders. That's just not necessarily like his strong suit as a runner, that 0-5 type of thing. He's more of a straight line, high octane engine type of running back where he gets into space, can kind of become like a buck and bull and really get going and have a home run type of back versus like a Catron where a 0-5 type of runner where you can engage with tacklers, make them miss in a phone booth. More stout, but just a different type of tackle within the box. And so I don't think last year Nick necessarily lost a step. I just don't think he had the running lanes that he did as a freshman, whether defenses weren't putting as many people in the box or putting more people in the box after they saw his home run ability. Because once you have a running back that can score from 70, 80 yards, you have to respect that. And I think that's what we saw from defensive coordinators from his freshman year to a sophomore year. Now it's on to him to develop and increase that ability from 0-5 running ability to make guys miss so he can get to the opportunity and get into the open space to show his explosive traits and things of that nature. And that's a little bit to do with Andy Kotelnicki and his offense and what he draws up to use his weapons the right way.
Especially with the offensive line in particular in 2023, there was certainly talent, certainly a lot of ability, some injuries here and there, but I don't necessarily know where to pin the lack of production on. Is it the potential infighting between Mike Yurcich and the rest of the coaching staff of what could have been there? It's hard to pinpoint one thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's hard to understand why production changes when there's so many different factors in something like football, right? There's offensive line changes. They're trying to find an identity with a first year starting quarterback with Drew Aller, trying to get him into the mix. So when you have those second and third and manageables when he was coming as a freshman, where it was like, all right, we're going to give him these opportunities, and he was able to get into the open space or open field and really shows his elite speed and his burst and all those good things. I think last year there was a little bit of a rhythm factor within the offense of like, okay, what are we going to be? Are we going to be a downhill running team? Are we going to try to get Drew Aller to pass the ball? Like who are we getting in rhythm? So with that, along with just some of his natural abilities or deficiencies that may show up, it's up to Kotelnicki to make sure he gets in the opportunity or has some creativity to get in space and show his ability. But with that, there is an onus on Nick to continue to develop his 0-5 running style. So if he does encounter tacklers within 0-5 yards, that he's able to make guys miss and get to that second level so he can show his elite athleticism and speed.
Just to bring up some of the statistics for this all together, in 2022, Nick Singleton, 156 rushing attempts, 1,061 yards, 12 touchdowns, a long of 87, 6.8 yards per carry, 81.6 yards per game on the ground, and then he reeled in 11 catches for 85 yards, a touchdown, a long of 22, an average of 7.7. In 2023, 171 attempts rushing, 752 yards on the ground, 8 rushing touchdowns, a long of only 24 compared to 87. Obviously, that explosive play discussion we were having, averaged 4.4 yards per carry, so nearly 2.5 yards drop off, and 57.8 yards rushing per game. His receptions went up, which I think is the interesting point. 26 catches, 308 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, a long of 53, about 2 catches per game, and 11.8 yards per catch. Seeing him getting involved late in the season, I think a lot of people are going to look at the Michigan State game and be like, ooh, here's a sample of what it could be. Obviously, Michigan State, an inferior opponent at that point in the schedule. But that utilization, I think, is very curious for Nick Singleton, considering the creativity of Andy Kotelnicki's offenses historically. And it's something you and I have talked about, is that if the wide receivers aren't necessarily reliable or consistent or what many hope they could be, well, shoot, number 10 standing right there. And if he's truly the number one possible threat in this offense, why not use him in the running game and the passing game heavily?
I mean, anytime you can create matchups, I think that is the goal, right? Like, and with what's the offensive coordinator's job is to find those matchups, styles make fights, and pick the favorable matchups for the offense. But when you have dynamic guys in the backfield like that, and that can do both, it's to your benefit. I mean, we've seen it even with Saquon was at Penn State. Like, he was the running back, so a lot of the plays that he made were in space, whether it was kickoff returns, screens, check down, save me plays. Like, save me, Saquon. And, like, you know, those things happen. You have special guys in space. Because the one thing about the talent level in college where people don't realize is, like, yeah, everyone's good, but the better players are still better than most. So that's why when we talk about recruiting and talent acquisition, NIL is so important, because just that one talent acquisition player or asset can really change the trajectory of a whole football team.
And again, given the landscape of the transfer portal, NIL, those sorts of things, the fact that you're getting now a third season of Nick Singleton at Penn State, considering that he was a five-star running back and the number one overall recruit in the country, Gatorade Player of the Year, like all the accolades, plausible. If he was unhappy or didn't see development moving in the right direction or didn't like the direction of the program, all the means are there for a player like him to bounce someplace else, and he would be picked up very, very quickly. That being said, Penn State fans are, I think, a little bit more in love with Catron Allen after 2023, because Catron produced. You've compared him, at least in running style, to a Frank Gore. And it's nice to have that difference in style. These two are roughly the exact same size. I believe Nick Singleton, 6 foot, 226. And then you have Catron listed at 5'11", 225. But just they seem just so very different, given the fact that this year the offensive tackle spots are kind of a question mark, but the interior of the offensive line is a little bit more solidified. Do you think that lends itself more to Catron style or Singleton style?
I mean, it depends on what type of running plays they're going to be asked to do. I mean, if you think of like a zone type of runner, you would think Catron. He makes quick reads. He's real shifty. He's a hard tackle from different angles. And if you're thinking like getting downhill and more power attack, you would think Nick Singleton, being able to split seams, get into the second level with full head of steam and being able to get there. So I think it comes down to the play design and what type of runs they're asked to perform or execute. That comes down to the offensive coordinator and alignment and the philosophy, play calls, and who's going to actually carry it out.
There seems to be a higher ceiling for production with Nick. Again, it's just looking off of the statistics. With Catron, freshman year, 167 attempts on the ground, 867 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns, a long of 59, average 5.2 yards per carry, 66.7 yards per game, zero receptions. 2023, 172 attempts on the ground, 902 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns, 50 yards was his long. So he continued to show the ability to have explosive plays. And then an average that stayed at 5.2. His average per game went up to 69.4. He had one reception for 4 yards. So it's not necessarily that Mike Yurcich saw Catron Allen as somebody who was going to contribute in the passing game. From what you've observed from Catron, is it plausible from him? Because there are certain backs that we've seen historically where it's like, hey, you just need to give this guy the rock and hand it off to him in space. It might not necessarily be there.
I mean, as a zone runner, I think he can catch the ball in space. I think there's different ways to catch the ball. Are you talking about Ladainian Tomlinson, where he's lined up in the slot and running slants and outs like a Miles Sanders, that type of running back? Maybe not, but he's very useful in the sense of third and short or passing downs where he's in the block and he's a screen back where you get him with a conveyor belt of an envoy of linemen to be able to take him out into the open space. I think he can be very good from a screen perspective. But, yeah, line him up as a slot? No, he probably can't do that. I mean, but that's okay. Because, like, when you get right, those third fours or those second and threes and you need a first down, you feel confident with that guy being there. Because I know how frustrating it is when you have running backs that can make big plays, but we can't get third and two, third and ones, and we're punting all the time. Like, that's conversion. That conversion trait or that conversion ability is just as critical as being able to line up on the outside.
if anything, that spark potentially in the passing game or the running game. Maybe if you're not looking at Catron, certainly you're looking at Nick Singleton, but that's where you get into the Quentin Martin Juniors, into the Cam Wallaces of the world. Those are guys who can contribute in that respect. It seems like, at least from what little we know about them thus far. I guess my question to you is identity for this rushing game. You talk about identity all the time, and I think it's so important. And it felt like last year, I don't know what the hell the identity was of the offense. And I think internally they were struggling to figure that out as well. But now with Andy Kotelnicki, that emphasis on pre-snap motion, trying to utilize different formations, utilizing the same personnel that Penn State has at the same time, it leaves a lot of room for creativity, which is very exciting. But I wonder what you think that identity is. I don't necessarily think it's going to be quite like Michigan. You know, you have two great backs like Michigan did with Corum and Edwards last year. Singleton and Allen are outstanding, but I just feel like it'll be similar but different. What do you think?
The challenge is creating a balanced attack that has an identity. I think Penn State is at their best when there is a balanced attack, being able to run efficiently, play action pass, and do all those different things. Now, how it's window dressed from Andy Kotelnicki's offense and how he gets to these different aspects, I think is why they hired him and paid him the big bucks, right? But at the end of the day, I think a balanced attack is what we're going to be looking for from a spread, from a spread look. A spread attack, balanced offense is what I think we're going to look from Penn State's offense moving forward.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Circa some of those Oregon offenses, maybe from back in the day, like Dennis Dixon's era. Would that make
very
sense?
Very similar. I mean, look at UNLV's offense last year, had great success with Brennan Marion. That go-go offense, that misdirection where the fundamentals of football are still in place, but you're using some creativity to get edges and number advantages on certain edges and things of that nature. But it's still baseline run zone, play action, getting guys in space, making sure the defense is playing sound football and keeping them on their heels. But the attack isn't necessarily innovative. The innovative part is how we get into all these different concepts.
Obviously, we have to see how the 2024 season goes from a win-loss perspective, production perspective, injuries, health, all those sorts of things. But what does your gut say about whether or not Nick Singleton and or Catron Allen will be on the field for Penn State in 2025?
Not a fortune teller, but that's really hard to say. I mean, with the options of going to the NFL, I think guys should have an opportunity to stay in school a little bit longer. But, I mean, time will tell how they produce this year. I mean, I don't think for running backs, they don't want to take many more hits on their body. There's a nice – drop off in just their career production from just a amount of times that they carry the football. So, I mean, when there's an opportunity to make some money, you never know. Maybe it's the transfer portal or the NFL, but from an individual playing running back going to my fourth year, there's definitely decisions I need to be making. It's like, okay, how do I now start to monetize my abilities because the shelf life is but so long, and understanding what you can do, there's just more creative ways of executing that besides going to the NFL. So we'll see what they do, but it could be at Penn State, it could be somewhere else. I don't really have too much besides the options that they have.
No, I understand. And listen, like you said, you're not a fortune teller, and it's just, you know, it's a speculative question. At the same time, it feels like there is a really outstanding chance specifically for Singleton to break out this year in a way that I've talked about it before on this show. A lot of people thought he'd be three and done, and maybe Kotelnicki's style of offense is what takes him to that next level, to the point where he has to go to the NFL because it's a no-brainer.
Right.
And then, I mean,
you would hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be great for us. Yeah,
yeah, right, yeah. It's just like, I think going to the NFL is a completely different outcome of the season versus, like, being disappointed and transferring into the season. And, like, the same thing is, like, all right, are they going to be on the team in 2025? So that was kind of the question I was answering. So from that, like, yeah, if he goes to the NFL, awesome. If he has a great season and someone pays him a king's ransom that we can't match, that sucks. Like, there's just so many different ways where he can have success or not have success and be on the team or not be on the team. So it's kind of hard, especially in today's age. So, I mean, Penn State has a lot of power right now since he's on the team. So I think making sure that he's deployed to the NFL with nice production is the key.
And if anything, if there is a world where Nick Singleton, say, goes into the 2025 NFL draft and Catron Allen decides to stick around, boy, that is a very developed product for Penn State to capitalize at that season in 2025. Not to say nothing will be accomplished in 2024, but you just think about what this offense could look like if it was singular in that respect. If we saw it for a stint this past season when Catron Allen had an injury and Nick Singleton had to be the guy, but it just seemed like the offense was so disjointed. You never really realized the full potential of what that could be with that one pure running back. But you've talked about it a lot, and especially the longevity of the position. It behooves you to have multiple guys that you can get out there, not necessarily a guy who is an Adrian Peterson type, where it's like he's the starter and he's going to get 30 carries a game, and the other guy might get in there for like two a game at most or something like that. Penn State doesn't have that, and that's okay because it feels like the game has moved away from that. What do you feel?
I mean, running back by committee is definitely something that has happened, but I mean, you're pointing out the reasons, right? Well, you have a running back that can catch the ball at the backfield, create matchups on the outside. You have another running back that can run and convert on second and third and fourth from short, more of a zone type of running back. So it's more of the dichotomy of play selection and options, where you talk about the value of that running back position continues to diminish because there's not too many guys that can do everything, where they can line up on the outside, run the zone, run pass block, do this and third. And there's just more specialties within that running back position. Even when I was here with Saquon and Miles, like, not their first and second round draft picks, 6+ years in the NFL, both of these guys. Miles didn't see the field that much, but he could have split carries the same way that these guys split carries. Like, that's how talented they were. But I just think that there's so many variables within football that it's hard to make a judgment on that piece for running backs and like their production for that standpoint.
The creativity which with Andy Kotelnicki operates to put together his offense, if Catron, for instance, adds that ability to be a pass catcher, man, does that really improve his stock. That's a really important thing, but could really help the offense altogether. Overall, I did want to ask you about what we saw yesterday in regards to the Penn State Board of Trustees voting for an improved and upgraded plan for Penn State's Beaver Stadium to have renovations. That plan is going to be extended no more than $700 million to upgrade the facility. The picture that went out online, which was simply for illustration purposes only, according to the Penn State Athletic Department, definitely got people's attention because it looks very modern. It looks like a modern, futuristic, almost NFL style stadium. And I think there's a lot of fans that got hung up on that. And even people as much as, I believe it was Anthony Lebrano voted against it. Anthony Lebrano voted against it because he wanted to know, quote, what that facelift would be. And I think that's one of the dumbest things I could possibly hear, because if you look at the stadium, it doesn't need a facelift. It needs a gut job entirely, and that this is a wonderful place. I have nothing against it. I've been going to the stadium since I was in the single digits. But this isn't a facelift thing where you can just leave the bones and everything's fine. You and I have talked about maybe this would be a duplicate of what Texas A&M did with Kyle Field, and that, yes, they maintained the aesthetic. They maintained the face, but internally they improved the bones and the amenities, all those sorts of things. But it sounds like the plan is to make this stadium profitable year-round potentially, and to benefit all 31 Penn State sports. And also the statistic that a Penn State football game generates roughly, on average, $16 million in revenue. Some astonishing numbers. But it feels like this is long overdue, and it's already something that's in progress. So to see this added emphasis on it, I'm very happy about. What was your initial reaction to maybe those illustrations and then the movement altogether?
It's the cost of doing business. That's how I look at it. I mean, that's a lot of money, right? $700 million, but when you talk about what they can get back from it, the economic impact within State College, I mean, that $16 million seems somewhat accurate, probably from an economic impact, like all around, like the town, like just in terms of State College, internal merch sales, food, concessions, RV parking. That's a big one. You know, those are like prime spots, seat licenses and things of that nature. But it becomes a venue for everything, right? We just talked about a country concert.
Yeah, Luke Combs put 80,000 people in the stadium in April.
So we got to talk about, you know, the revenue generation properties. So now they got to start looking outside of what's going on. We talk about NIL. We talk about just the business of college football. Yeah, the stadium's going to have to be used for other commerce or commercial purposes. So it's a lot of money, but I guess it's the cost of doing business in this space. It's just, this is what it's always been. I think the numbers are just kind of coming out to the fan base that's being asked for NIL money. So I think that's where it gets kind of like, whoa, we're spending money on this. We need money for this. We need money to be good. So I think it's messing with people's brains a little bit, but it's a little bit of critical thinking. I understand the business fundamentals of what's going on. And it is what it is. But I think it's going to be cool to see a concert, maybe with somebody big in there, like pretty soon.
We'll get something new in there. Maybe a pro wrestling event. I'd be a big fan of that.
Maybe that'll be a great spot to have WrestleMania, you know, or like maybe a NFL game, Steelers versus the Eagles, you know, have them play in State College.
I would love that.
You know,
I'm a big advocate for the NHL Stadium Series. So Penguins Flyers makes a ton of sense there. Like, there's a lot of really cool opportunities.
Man. State championship, move the state championship to college. You know,
there's opportunity. To wrap up here, and speaking of money, this is more of a macro story within the world of college football. So I know a lot of Penn State fans might not necessarily be paying attention to it, but Georgia transfer quarterback Jaden Rashada, formerly of Arizona State and formerly before that of the University of Florida, Rashada is suing members of the University of Florida's football staff, including head coach Billy Napier, members of the athletic department as well, for what appears to be a misleading a series of events in his recruitment. So essentially, if I'm paraphrasing altogether, is that he was initially committed to go to the University of Miami, Florida. Then he flipped to the University of Florida for a four-year deal at roughly $14 million, which is a mind-numbing amount of money for a high schooler, but still, get your money if you can do it. Then when attending the University of Florida, it sounds like a lot of those promises within the contract were never upheld, and Rashada left and went to Arizona State and spent a year there and is now at Georgia. So big get for Georgia. Obviously, he's a highly touted recruit. The fact that you have a player suing individual members of a coaching staff in a high profile university, an SEC college football program, is a huge deal. When you read about this, what do you think the ripple effect is for college football as a whole?
I don't know if the ripple would be crazy besides put it on notice to where it's like, hey, you're telling kids that they have a deal or something is in place. You have to make sure that the personnel that's handling it or handling your player relations, whether they're members of the collective, support staff, that they understand the business and aren't offering things that you can't deliver, right? Because a lot of times in recruiting, it's very reactive. Even from the school side, it's reactive. Oh, this player gets this, this player is offering that. You're going back and forth, and there's not really many fundamentals in the business set up in NIL right now. So I think it's just a cautionary tale for, like, players that are going through. Get things in writing. Make sure that there's more than one person that's, like, confirming the deals that are getting offered. Make sure it's within the rules. Make sure that there's players that are seeing their deals through while they're at the school. There's so many different ways for you to check, but then they're just checking the fundamentals of the business. If they're going to say they're going to give you $15 million and you're like a three-star safety or a corner or whatever the case may be, and that's just not what the market average is for any player, even if they're professional, you have to look at it with some skepticism. I'm not saying that that's what the deal is here, but there's a lot of people offering money, whether they're associated with the school, connected to a coach, or whatever the case may be. And so now it's another notch on the belt to push it towards some level of accountability and accountability and transparency amongst the process, right? So that's what I would say. And, you know, LIG Sports Group, you guys, your trusted partner through this whole sports business ecosystem, check it out, LIGSportsGroup.com. But on a serious note, even though that's really serious, it's very confusing in the sports ecosystem when there's money on the line. Teams are making $16 million for a home game. You know, kids are coming from lower socioeconomic opportunities. You're getting recruited using Lamborghinis. Agents are recruiting you at 18, 19 years old, taking you to strip clubs in Miami. Like, it's very, like, the ecosystem of sports is much more dynamic and colorful than the general public understands. So good for him for suing the individual on going through that process, put people on notice. Will he get anything? I don't know. But it shows that, like, okay, I'm serious and you guys told me this, and I'm not going to be put out here to look like I was just stupid for expecting to get this type of money if you told me you were going to give it to me. You say it's a business. Well, you guys operate like a business. That's always been my gripe too, with coming from the institution. Hey, this is a business, but we don't always operate up front like business on that side too. So good for him.
No, this can't be some sort of mafiosa situation or whatever. And it makes you think even more about it.
But this is, like, so when you say that, like, this whole industry is a mafiosa type
Fair.
Of situation. So, like, let's be real clear and critical about that.
That's why you need the regulations. That's why you need some sort of collective bargaining agreement to put these things out in the open as opposed to behind closed doors. It's been like that for too long.
Yeah. I mean, guess who's putting the collective bargaining together? I mean, because not like all the
That's
pros.
Another question.
You know what I mean? So we got to still be careful. It's dark out here, man. It's a cold world. Just make sure you guys get some coat, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get my legs broken. So let's just chill. Let us know what you guys think about all of this. Obviously, the Rashada case is more of a situation in the grand scheme of college football, but can certainly affect Penn State football at some point. Certainly will. The Beaver Stadium renovations.
It's all talent acquisition at the end of the day. How do you want to get the players so we can pay for stadiums that cost $700 million? Everybody has different ways. At the end of the day, $16 million is produced when people are coming to an event put on by college students. That is the fundamentals of what we're talking about. So when you're acquiring those assets to put on that event that generates $16 million, yeah, you'll do what you need to do to get the assets you need.
That's why you check out LIG Sports Group. That's why Justin knows what he's talking about. Thank you all for joining us. Again, hop in the comments section. Get at us on social media. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, and rate us. Let us know especially what you think about the tailbacks, which is what we were discussing in this episode. But obviously, we've gone into a lot of different directions. There's a lot of stuff happening this present week in the world of college football. So hang on tight.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.